Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this great country. Lord, we're not without our flaws and our problems, but it is a great nation. We're blessed to have been born here. We're blessed to live here. So thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the teacher. We invite you now to teach us, grow us, mature us, and equip us, Lord, to make a difference in this life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. If you would, hold them up with me and say this together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. The most humble thing I can do is agree with what God says about me. And He says, I am equipped by His Spirit with a holy calling. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I am redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Give Him praise if you believe that. We're continuing our new series on God's government, the hope for America. The election, of course, is over. The people of the nation have voted. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, nothing has changed. I told you that last week. Whichever way it goes, nothing changes in my mind. We still need to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. That's what needs to happen. And here, obviously, in our nation, we are still the light of the world. We are still the salt of the earth. The truest thing about us is still what God says about us. Nothing has changed. So let's go back to key point number one in this series. The real power to bring change in our nation rests in the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in political parties, presidents, legislation, those things. Miles Monroe said, any effective plan for our world cannot come from the world itself. It must come from God. Praise God, that plan has come. The plan was introduced and revealed through Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago. I think we would all agree America does have issues. We have problems, but it's still a great nation. It's the greatest nation on the planet. We're very blessed to live here, to have been born here. It is truly a land of opportunity. It's still a land of milk and honey, I believe. And again, there are problems. And I'm not just talking about economically when you're dealing with $13 trillion of debt and what we're passing on to generations to come if we cannot get this solved. But even morally as a nation, we're struggling. More violence, more crime. It's just really less of a godly nation, at least in practice. And we can say all day long, we believe in God, we're a godly nation, but we have our moral issues in this country. So let's look at God's solution to our nation. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It was prophesied 600 years before the King of Heaven showed up himself, that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder. He will lead the people, is what the Message Bible says. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, 700 years or so before Christ was here. During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. No one will ever conquer it. And all God's people said, amen. It will shatter all these kingdoms into nothingness, and yet it will stand forever. And then Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, yet His kingdom rules over all. Amen. In other words, He's saying it's established in the Spirit, but His kingdom has dominion and takes rule over the natural as well. Amen. God's plan, put this in your notes, is to rule the visible world of man from the invisible world of the Spirit. That is the plan of God, to rule the visible world of man from the invisible world of the Spirit. Now you couple these passages from the Old Testament with the New Testament, Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist, the forerunner, comes on the scene, really the last of the great Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, and announces in Matthew 3:2, repent, the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It has arrived. And then Matthew 4:17, Jesus said the same thing in one of his very first public ministry statements. Even before the Sermon on the Mount, he said, repent. And he went around preaching this, repent, the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Now, do you not suppose this is one and the same kingdom that was prophesied in the Old Testament and now is being announced and proclaimed in the New? Put this in your notes, Matthew 12:28. Because it is not a natural kingdom, not yet. It's a spiritual kingdom. Okay, and as we said last week, one day it will be physical. It'll be on. Thank you, Jesus. And sight will replace faith. But it is a spiritual kingdom. Matthew 12:28, Jesus said this, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come to you. So how does the kingdom of God come to us? By the Spirit of God. If I drive out demons, by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come. Amen. So Jesus' internal kingdom via the Holy Spirit is God's total answer to man's total need. The internal government of God is God's total answer to America's need. That is the answer. There is no other answer. You can look to legislation, you can look to political parties and all that business, but you're barking up the wrong tree. God's answer is the internal government of His Spirit in the hearts of men. It is health and life to your spirit, your soul, and your body, to your family, to your marriage, to your state, your city, and your nation. The kingdom of God. Everybody say the kingdom of God. So if we want to see change in America, we're going to have to quit offering people one day. One day you can enter the kingdom. What we're offering is the kingdom can enter you. When the king enters you, could you imagine if all we could tell the world is, well, you won't be depressed when you go to the kingdom of heaven. You won't be sad anymore once you're dead and in heaven. That's no promise. If we preach that gospel, we make ourselves irrelevant. And the enemy even said, hey, I'll give you your salvation experience or whatever, and I'll give you heaven in the sweet by and by, but in between I'll rule you. No, we're to be ruled by God, and as we're ruled by God in the earth, righteousness, peace, and joy will be established. Amen? Amen. 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 I don't want us offering one day in heaven, you won't be sick anymore, tired anymore, depressed anymore. That's not what Jesus came bringing. Jesus came bringing power to live life on earth. In the here and now. What he was bringing was equipping you for now. Not just a promise that you could have eternal life when you were dead. But power. Everybody say power. Mark 9:1. Write this one down. Jesus looks at his disciples. Now listen. And he said, some of you sitting here won't see death until you see my kingdom present with power. Everybody say power. This is going to happen to us. I really earnestly believe that in the year, and I've already, the elders and I have prayed about it, we're hearing the same thing, that as we go into this next year, we're going to see an increase in the power of God. The spirit of power. The spirit of demonstration. The spirit that demonstrates God has more power than the devil. We're going to begin to see manifestations of the grace and the power of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the earth. Come on. Amen. If you don't believe it now, you will. Write this one down. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. The kingdom of God is not in word, it is in power. And that word power, both instances is the word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. But it's also a familiar word from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit came. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. We have the Spirit. We don't have to sit around saying, look what the world is coming to. We can say, look what has come into the world. The Holy Spirit has come into the world. The King of Heaven has come into the world. The Word of God. We've got the Word. We've got the blood. We've got the Spirit of God. Amen. Boy, that's powerful. All we lacked was a vision and an agenda and a purpose. And we had all kinds of man-made ones that crumbled and fell. And pastors trying to build kingdoms with little K's. When we were never asked to do that. The church is to be given over to the King Himself. That He might utilize the church to establish His kingdom with a capital K.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus came bringing power. Power to live a godly life here on earth. Not just power to live in heaven. Nobody in heaven needs your help. Amen. Why would the power be for heaven? Nobody in heaven needs your help. But there's a whole lot of broken and sick people here in the earth. Let's look at the great theologian, Dr. Walter Rosenbusch, 19th century Baptist minister, great theologian. He said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of getting people to heaven, but of transforming life on earth into the harmony of heaven. That's six of you are on board. Amen. But that's foreign to us. You know what alarmed him? He said, if the kingdom of God continues to be replaced by personal salvation, men will seek to save their own souls and forget about the plight of the rest of the world. And that's what happened. The church turned inward. And we all thought personal salvation was about securing our ticket to heaven, when in fact, personal salvation is your personal enlistment in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, not armed with tanks and guns, but with compassion and grace and love and joy and peace. I'm enlisted in the army. These are my weapons. Let's take it to the streets. Amen. Taking it to the streets. Just as the Doobie Brothers prophesied. We're going to have to edit that out. Sorry, Dennis. My elders are shaking their head there. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. The internal Spirit of God, Jesus came bringing. Boy, we would struggle without it. We got no power apart from the one who has power. And we can't be like Him without Him. Amen? As I said last week, we need to start living as though heaven were already here. And as I was pondering this week in my office, the Lord said, would you please remind them as well that I am already here as well? Wouldn't we live differently if we actually believe Christ is here, present in the earth? Well, He is, by the Spirit, He is present inside every one of us. How many of you know if Stacy and I were with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it might change how you act? Right? Well, the truth is, we're not with you 24/7, but the King is. And we need to practice that revelation. Amen. Let's go to point number two. The purpose of government is to restrain sin and evil. That's what it's for. The government can't save anybody. But God does establish and allow for human government to put a restraint on sin. William Penn said, let men be good and government can't be bad. Government can't be invasive and intrusive when the people are moral and good and loving and helping each other. So I'm going to show you in Scripture that human government is God-ordained. God is for human government. Now, not all governments are good. Can we agree? Not all governments, human governments, are godly. But the idea of good government is of God. Look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority put in place except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, they're a terror to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For he, talking about government, is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he doesn't bear the sword in vain. He's God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So in other words, we have laws in the United States. If you break those laws, you can be arrested and punished. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore taxes to whom taxes are due. Sounds like Jesus, right? Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but whatever has God's image on it has to be rendered to God. Guess who has God's image on it? You do. So taxes, and then customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. All right. Governments are ministers of God for you, for the righteous, for the good people. Governments are ministers of God that constrain evil. They give you security. We feel safer when police are around. Amen? We're glad that there's highway patrol people out there monitoring the speed of drivers. We don't want someone driving 100 through a school zone and killing children. So that's why the next time you get pulled over, you need to thank the officer. Thank you, officer, for giving me this ticket. Why are you laughing? This is a holy moment. We're going to find out if you're living by the flesh or by the Spirit real quick. Thank you for doing your duty, sir. Thank you for giving me this ticket. Because listen, if he's not giving you a ticket, then he's not writing anybody else a ticket. And if he's not writing anybody else tickets, we're going to have chaos on our roadways. So there is a place where we're grateful for godly government. Yes. Let's learn from that poor guy's experience. Experience is the best teacher, but it doesn't have to be our experience. All right, amen. So a fallen and unredeemed world will always need a system of laws to maintain order. People who have not the Spirit of God governing them need restraint on their flesh. Write this one down. 1 Timothy 1:9, we know that the law is not made for a righteous person. The law is made for the lawless, for the unregenerated, those who don't have the love of Christ constraining them internally. We will have written law and human government to enforce written law until Jesus Christ's kingdom comes in its fullness. Once Christ's kingdom is here in its fullness, then we won't need those things. Okay, once love is in operation, love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13:10, he goes on to say that, same chapter. But love and the people of God constrained by love, 2 Corinthians 5:14, become the fulfillment of the law. And in other words, what is required. Ephesians 4:24, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. If you're driving by the Spirit, you're not going to be cursing everyone. Or breaking the laws. Amen. I feel all alone up here, Dennis. Galatians 5:22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, etc. Against such things there's no law required. That's where he's taking us. That we so walk in love and joy and we're at peace with God, with ourselves and our fellow man, that there is no law to constrain us. It's not necessary. That's why I told you last week, any country should want born-again, Spirit-filled citizens in its country. They'll do far more than just keep the rules. Amen? So followers of Jesus will not only uphold the law, they'll go well beyond it. If a follower of Jesus has turkey for Thanksgiving, well, let me back up. Not only will they not steal someone else's turkey, they will invite people who don't have turkey. And now the government doesn't have to feed them because the Christians are doing it. But the Christians know too that it's foolish to just give a man a fish and never teaching him to fish. Amen. Amen, amen. That's good preaching right there. Good preaching, little preacher. A problem we're having, though, in the United States is that our form of government was designed for a nation of godly and moral people. That's the issue that we're facing. And so the less godly people internally governed by love, the less of those people around, then the less our government is going to resemble what it looked like when it started. It has been a decline of the internal morals of the people of this nation that has caused our government to morph into having a lot more laws, a lot more restraint, a lot more police, a lot more this, concerned about weapons, on and on and on it goes. Where we hear people saying, we're losing our freedoms. Why? Because government has to get bigger when the people aren't good. As William Penn said. So, the answer is not more rules, more laws, more police, more jails. The answer is the kingdom of God. Introduced by the church into the hearts of the people of this nation. We cannot ask the government to legislate everyone must be a Christian. That is our job. The government can't make a Christian. You don't want them making Christians. Who was it, Jerry? Constantine that did that? Just mandated everybody be a Christian. We saw how that turned out. Only God can make spiritual sons and daughters. We're not looking to the government. Please pass laws so everybody has to be like us. They need to get born again. If we're not careful, we'll be lazy and look to the government to do what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. The state of our nation is, think about this, because the founding fathers, it never crossed their mind. We have to create laws that cause fathers to care for their children. We have to create laws that would make a dad who begot a son to pay for that son. Why? Because if there's no internal government, no Holy Spirit saying, you beget that boy, care for that boy, be a father to that boy. If there's no internal government reminding him of the word that a father that won't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Scripture says, if there's no internal unction in his function, then government has to get involved and say, by God, we need laws to cause people to do what's right. Are you tracking with me? What does he need? More laws? No, he needs to get saved. He needs to get born again. Amen. Write this down, faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faith in its fullness. Anything not from sin, or excuse me, anything not from faith is sin. So if we want to be faithful, faith in its fullness. Operate in faith. Walk by faith. Faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. If you will never sin if you'll walk by faith. If you'll walk by the Spirit, you'll never sin. You'll never disobey God. Faithfulness is faith in its fullness. At all times. So, U.S. News. We're talking about this father, by the way. He needs faithfulness. He needs the internal fruit of the Spirit. U.S. News and other secular magazines are now saying that the presence of the father in the home would do more to curtail crime than more jails and police would ever do. The world is saying this. We've known this all along. The presence of the father in the home does more to determine a child's success in life than anything else. When I was at the juvenile detention center doing a Bible study and an outreach there, this is many years ago, I had 26 kids in my Bible study over on 5905 North Classen. And as the Lord began speaking to me about the presence of the father and those things, I just asked him, I said, how many of you come from broken homes? 26 hands were raised. The presence of the Father, biblical moral principle and value from within, not outward constraint, but from within, will do far more to curb crime than building more juvenile detention centers. Do you see what I'm saying? And we can't just keep looking to the government to fund all these things that concern us. At some point, we need to be the message that God so loves the world, not preach the message. Many people have heard it, but so few have seen it. be the message that God so loves the world. Amen. In the 60s, the United States divorced ourselves from biblical values and the honoring of Scripture. Everybody thinks right now is the shift. Our nation is shifting away from God. We shifted in the 60s. We're just reaping the consequences of taking a God consciousness out of a nation whose government was built and established based upon the people would have a God consciousness. Amen. The U.S. Supreme Court imposed a law on the people of the United States to take prayer out of public school, to take God, the Bible, all those things out of school, out of the public sector, and we wonder, what's going on? If you take light and truth from a venue, you are foolish to think that darkness and lies will not take its place. And the church, in the midst of it, withdrew. Because the church thought, and I was talking to an older pastor yesterday at this conference, the church believed, he said, that with all this happening in the 60s and the immoral landscape that started coming forth, they thought, well, the rapture's here. We're out of here. We're 50 years removed from that. And it wasn't just the world's going to do what the world's going to do, right? But the church turned inward because they thought, let's hold up in the church. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. We're out of here. Well, obviously, we're not out of here. Here we still are. But we're reaping the consequences of an introverted church, not endued with vision and power and compassion for the broken and the hurting. That's why myself, the elders, we feel very confident that the Lord wants to be invasive in 2013. It's time to push back darkness. We are the light of the world. If there is darkness in our nation, and there is, we are charged with pushing back darkness. And they may hate us. They may crucify us. Even if America says, no, we won't hear it, the church will still thrive. We'll go underground if we have to, but the church will thrive because of the life of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It will. I'm not scared. What's the worst they can do to us? Kill us? And then to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But we must bank our lives on truth. There is no other way to live. And again, I'm not saying we're mean-spirited and we're picketing and we're doing... I'm not armed with that. I'm armed with the fruit of the Spirit and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Where God begins demonstrating that God has more power than the devil. There's a conference coming in March of 2013. We haven't decided on the location yet, but it's the Power and Love School where they spend a couple of days just training people in the gifts of the Spirit to have words of knowledge so that when you're out and about in the world, you can come up to someone as the Lord has prompted you and say, this may sound weird, but I just feel led of the Lord that I'm supposed to pray for you. You're having this problem, this problem, this problem. And he told me in prayer that you'd be wearing a red shirt and black pants. God can be that specific. God is not dead. God is alive, and he can tell you the absolute truth about somebody's life. Not to shame them, but to heal them. Amen. We're in trouble without the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit and that type of evangelism. Evangelism is not head-to-head combat. You must believe what my church believes. No. Let me introduce you to the Spirit of the living God, the one for which you're made. The one that when you receive him in your heart, it's a homecoming. It feels right. It feels peace. It feels joy. We went from the main issues in our schools, top two issues, chewing gum and talking out of turn in the 60s. Now, shootings, drugs, violence. Our nation's government, the way it was crafted, was for a godly people that had a godly conscience. So if you take that out, our government's not going to resemble what it used to. And we have to have more and more restraint, more and more control. The nation was birthed in Christian values and principles, not some of the Christianity we've seen today. Right? I mean, not some of the crazy stuff we see, but it was birthed in humility and the Christian principle of honoring people and honoring authority. It was not birthed in secular humanism. And as long as we continue to intercourse with secular humanism and me-first mentality, we will work our own nation's destruction. It was not founded on that type of philosophy. In John 19:11, write that one down. And let me just say this, that the founding fathers never envisioned for Christian principles to be divorced from public life. They never foresaw that. That's why our government is morphing. They never envisioned that loving Jesus would be somehow politically incorrect. Okay, and we can get mad at the government, but the government's just a reflection of the people. People will always get in a nation what they want. The people will. John 19:11, Jesus did not blame Pilate. He said, "The one who has delivered me to you has the greater sin." Who delivered him? The people. The people had the greater sin. They chose Barabbas over Jesus, not Pilate. That's why I say we need to get the kingdom advanced in the people. Pray for our government, sure. Pray for our leaders. We're commanded in Scripture to do that, but we've got to reach the lost. We've got to reach the ones in the dark. Because the people in office, in all the venues of office, are there because the people of the nation put them there, elected them there, fair and square. If the government is taking God out of public life, they're only doing it because that's what the people who elected them want them to do in the majority. Okay, and like I said, the people typically will get from the government what they want. Look at the Berlin Wall. The government couldn't stop that wall from coming down because the people demanded it. We could not be stopped if we'll wake up. We cannot be stopped if we'll rise up into who we really are. And you need to take all your preconceived ideas of what it looks like out of your mind and just be submissive and obedient to the Holy Spirit and leave the results to Him. Amen. I'm not going on some kind of church growth thing. I don't care about that. I care about what the King cares about, and that's those people not dying and going to hell. And then we'll leave the results to Him and let the nation evolve, hopefully, prayerfully, back to more of a moralistic society than what we have now. As I mentioned, our government was designed for God to be in the public sector, that we would have a God consciousness. And in no way, as I said before, am I saying that the government should legislate. Everybody should believe like us. Everybody should be a Christian. I think that scares people. It scares them. And it should. Christianity is the only religion that really is by choice. Those nations that mandate a religion upon the people, I don't want to live there. But it shouldn't be forgotten that our nation was founded on Christian principles and upon Christian values. That's inescapable. That's fact. Look at what Patrick Henry said. It cannot be emphasized too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion. Everybody say amen. Our nation was not founded on religion, but on the good news of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. How about that? Christianity protects religious freedom. Because we understand you must come to Christ by choice. Wow. And the founding fathers, Patrick Henry himself, so believed in their heart They welcome people that were oppressed in other nations. Come over here and you can have freedom of worship here. Whatever your God is. Because they so believed that they would live Christ in front of them, they'd be converted. They so believed that if we'll live the gospel in front of them, they'll fall in love with Jesus. That's what they believed. Isn't that something? It's Christianity that protects people's right to worship. It's Christians who have a love for God and a love for humanity that understand Christianity cannot be forced on anyone. It has to be free will. Amen. It's not up to the government to make us a Christian nation. The government is just a reflection of the people. And if the people don't want God and don't want Christ, I don't think they're seeing them as they really are. And if they're not seeing them as God and Christ really are, we need to do a better job of reflecting who they are. Because I'm fully convinced any human being that sees God and sees His Son will be drawn to them. They're made for them, right? Remember, the deck is stacked against them. Being governed internally by Christ and the love of God is written into human beings' organs. They want to know, they want to believe that there is a creator, there is a master plan, and that He loves them and has a purpose for them. We want to live life in such a way that men and women are drawn to Christ. Amen. Even if they're Muslim or Hindu or whatever they are, secular humanist, that we live Christ in such a way they're drawn to the hope that's in us. All right, last one. Jeremy, you can come. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Notice they didn't say, "Why do you speak to us in parables?" Because He would always explain to them what He was talking about. "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given." Wow. Luke 22:29, Jesus said, "I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me." It's been given to you to know the mysteries of what we're talking about today. It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God and the internal government of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I don't expect the world to know what's wrong. I sure don't expect the world to know what we can do to turn this thing around. But we know. I do expect us to know. I don't expect the world to know where life and peace really come from. I expect them to think it comes from an iPad. I got me a new iPad. I've got life and peace. Yeah, for a week or so. Right? Humans are too great of creation to be satisfied by electronic devices. Amen. They can be fun. They can be cool for a while. But at the end of the day, humans can only be satisfied by the Spirit of God. That's what we're vending. We're not vending religion. We're not vending even church attendance. We're vending a relationship with the King that would assemble a group of people together. You know, we need each other. You do know this. I need the grace that's in you. You have grace I do not have. You need the grace that's in me and in the person sitting next to you. We need each other. And we're vending Jesus Christ the King, who would assemble a people together who have a heart for their city, their state, and their nation, to be fully endued with power to work the works of God, to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we're made for. Let's stand together. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus Christ the internal Lord of your life, and you want to know Him, oh, I'm excited for you. If you don't know Him and you've never received Him, boy, you're in for a treat. If you want to receive Him by the Spirit into your heart, into your spirit. There to love, not only love you, but love through you. Receive His forgiveness. Receive His kindness. Receive His graciousness. And receive power to live life. If that's you, you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to know Christ today. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? I want to receive Christ into my heart. Anyone else? Right back over here. Thank you, young lady. Anyone else? I want His internal companionship. Praise God. Well, will you give these two a hand as they come? If you'll come forward, we're going to pray for you. Right here. Right over here. We're going to pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, brother. Right here. Bless you. Go with her. Amen. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.